Hey, 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 it's your girl. Just call me J. Nicole. And this bookcast is about none other than why, yours truly. But most importantly, it's about life with my bookends. So who are or what are my bookends, you may ask? They're my wonderfully talented two sons, also known as my heart and my heartbeat. Without them, life just was incomplete. And I know a lot of people are like, but one of the biggest things that I desired in life was to become a mother. And at 18, I was told that there was a slim to none chance that that would even happen. So when God bestowed them upon me, they made my life complete. And they hold me upright. They give me perspective on what life is and what I should be doing in life. They actually give me purpose each and every day. And because of them, I now have this podcast to share with you the day in the life of the Walkers, or more specifically, the day in the life of Just Call Me J. Nicole and life with my bookends. Hey, 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 it's your girl. Just Call Me J. Nicole. And guess where I am? No, guys, I'm not in my car, but I am in a car and I am in Bradenton, Florida. And I popped down here to spend a couple of days with my oldest for his birthday. So this episode, just to forewarn you, is going to be a little on the sappy side, but not really. So nearly 18 years ago, actually over 18 years ago, I had received some heartbreaking news from my OBGYN. I was told that I had little to no opportunity of being able to have a successful pregnancy. I was diagnosed when I was about 10. That's when I actually had my first cycle, guys. So about between 10 and 12, I had some very horrible bleeding during my menstrual. It left me very and severely anemic. It left me extremely sick. I mean, I would feel like I was hungover. Had a bout of morning sickness before I even knew what drinking would feel like and what being pregnant would feel like. My mom would often come home from work and find me literally hanging over the side of the commode, or she would find me lying down in my bathroom. And it literally would take my mom to lift me up off of either the toilet or the floor and get me to my bed. And every woman that you've ever heard to say that they had to have hot water bottles that they would put on their tummies, or heating pads. That Midol, that never worked. Ibuprofen, whatever it was, whatever pain relief that was out at the time that people thought was the be-all do-all to ending the horrible, horrible pain that was associated with being a woman, which is also having a cycle, as we call it. I had all of that. I literally would be in fetal position in the bed. I would cry. And then on top of everything else, I could have cycles that last 7 days. So a full solid week, I was in agony. And it wasn't like it started off like that in the beginning and then later on in that week it got better. I had heavy cycles, and with that whole pain and vomiting and everything, about 5 of those 7 days that I would have my cycle. So when my mom finally took me to the doctor and they said, oh, she has endometriosis. At 10, 11, 12, you have no idea. Hell, when I was 18, I had no idea what endometriosis was. I just knew that whatever it was the worst thing ever. So, dealing with it from 10 to 18, it was horrible. And so, after consulting with another OBGYN, my mom and I sat and talked, and they said, well, they want to do an exploratory surgery on you and find out just how bad your endometriosis is. And the end result of the exploratory surgery, also known as laparoscopy, was that I had such a severe case that they had to just go ahead and start cleaning me up. And the end result also was that I had a slim to none chance of reproducing. And I know you guys have heard my intro, and I talk a lot about the fact that I was told that I couldn't have children, and then I end up having what I consider miracle babies. But all of my life, I had dreamt about the opportunity of having children of my own. I sort of have been conditioned to be the mother or a mother. I am the oldest child. I am the oldest grandchild on my mom's side, the oldest granddaughter on my father's side. And when it came to being responsible for others, that was something that I was very in tune with. And so I assumed that role way before I had to for my own children. I would dream, like other little girls who dream of having children, of being able to have kids and what my kids would look like and what their names would be. And I wanted two girls and two boys, and I thought that I wanted a set of twins. You name it, I fantasized about it because I wanted deeply and desperately to do that. And at 18, my dreams all seemed to be snatched away. And then at 22, actually I was 21, something miraculously happened. And not only did I become pregnant, but I became pregnant and it became a viable pregnancy. And at 22, I gave birth to my firstborn. And that has been nearly 18 years ago. The number 18 is extremely significant to me because it was where someone tried to put a period where God was telling me to just put a comma or a semicolon. Or nothing at all. Maybe even several dots as we do now. So seeing my firstborn, the person who made me a mom, the person who God allowed to be a testimony of his goodness and his greatness, seeing him hit such an age and in such a huge part of his life, it just does my heart so well. And I'm literally fighting back tears. I did not think that when I got on that it would dredge up these type of emotions. But at 18, I got news that I felt was detrimental to who I was and who I wanted to be. And at 18, well, almost 18, my son is living his dream. And It was a lot of sacrifices that I made just to be down here with him. Some people would have probably said, you know, you shouldn't even come down here. You know, you were just down there a couple of weeks ago and everything. But I felt the need to be down here for 18 years. I have spent every birthday with him. And I won't be here on his birthday. But I wanted him to be able to spend some time with family. So I surprised him. Guys, I'm literally tearing up. I am trying to compose myself. And so I'm trying to switch gears just a little bit so I don't get be such a punk on here with you guys. But our 18th birthdays, mine and his, are literally like night and day. And I'm so thankful that instead of someone trying to tell him, and which they did, to put a period, a comma, a semicolon, or a couple of dots, he could hear God telling him to keep moving. I know you guys are like, what you talking about? When my son, I keep saying my son, when Dion started getting the chatter about being drafted, there are a couple of people, including family and close friends and some coaches, who told him that he was not going to get the type of money he was worth. There were a couple of people who told him that he was not 4-year college material just yet. He still needed to mature. There were a couple of people who told him that he was only good enough for a 2-year college for several different reasons. There were a couple of people who said a lot of negative things. And when I was 18, there was one person who said the same thing for me about my dream. And my dream was to be a mom. For Dion, his dream was to become a professional athlete. At 18, when I got the news, I didn't buckle. I just said, you know what? You know, I guess I'll have to adopt, or maybe it wasn't meant for me to be a mom. And so I lived my life a lot differently from what I probably should have lived my life, because I felt that someone had already put an end to my dream. So when Dion was presented with an opportunity to pursue his dream, I talked to him. I gave him as many facts and good points and high points and low points, to be honest with you, about what his decision could be if he moved forward to go pro, or what his decision could be, his life and things could be if he decided not to go pro. And I stood beside him wholeheartedly on his decision. And so as I'm sitting down here in this nice rental car, in Bradenton to visit my son at Pirate City because he is a professional athlete, it does my heart well to know that he is going to spend his 18th birthday doing exactly what he was destined to do, doing exactly what he wished to do. He's living by his own rules, which have been designed and quoted to him from God and God alone. I hate to get all churchy on you guys. I hate to be so heavy. But I told you guys from the beginning, and I finally have stopped crying, by the way. I even had my family calling me cop blockers and everything because The trip was supposed to have been a surprise for him completely, and that me and the girlfriend were coming down, and the girlfriend let it out that she was coming. So, like any teenage boy would do when he know his girlfriend's coming, they're gonna be unsupervised. Mom's not gonna be around. Dad's not gonna be around. He made plans. He told me what those plans were, and I had to sort of approve. Guys, if only you guys could see the messages he sent. But he asked for me to approve some of the plans that he had made for him and the girlfriend. And yeah, I do feel like a little third wheel, but at the same time, I'm like, this is my trip. I had planned to come down here to see my baby. She got the invitation. But let me tell you, when I wish I had caught this on camera, when he came down into the lobby and saw his girlfriend, I was hiding. And he was hugging her, and I was so happy that he was happy. And I went to like surprise him, and he started to turn, and so I ended up being behind him. So I just smacked him on the butt, just like the guy, the doctor did 18 years ago. Guys, I literally smacked him on his bottom, and it shook him so much that when he turned around, he saw me, he just grabbed me up, and that made me feel good that he was just as happy to see his mom as he was to see his girlfriend. And that is one reason why I came. And he said that he does not feel, and this could be a lie because I know kids lie to their parents to make sure that they feel good about themselves. I used to do it to my mom. Sorry, Mom. But he said he was happy that he had some family down here to spend his birthday with him because he's never had to spend his birthday alone. And there has been a lot of changes in his life. So spending his birthday alone could be one of those Debbie Downers, like, God, I wish that, my family was down here. They call me cod blockers, guys. They really did. But this is my other message that I wanted to give you. My son is at the very beginning of his career. His girlfriend is an astute young lady with a bright future in front of her. The last thing that I want right now, and it's not even for my sake, is for me to become a grandmother. Because as much as I yearn to have children at their age, I did not see how bright of a future I could have had I done X, Y, and Z. So they could see their future right ahead. And the last thing that I want to happen is that they have to take a detour because they decided to do something that resulted in a child. Now, that's not to say that it would be the end of their dream because that's not the end. And I would definitely not be that kind of a parent. But it makes things a little bit more difficult. And I can again speak on that. Because at 22, I was not prepared to be anybody's mama, although I was elated. I did not think about all the responsibility that entailed being a mom. I just wanted the cute little baby who smelled so good. But what I did not know is that they smell horrible. Poop is not a good smell. Vomit is not a good smell. Colic is real. Sometimes they just don't want to go to sleep. And guess what? You be tired. You be so tired as a mama. Even now, I am tired because I never stopped mothering. I used to laugh at my mom, and as much as I want to stop, it's innate because I have been a mother way before I was a biological mother. So it's just sort of in my makeup. And I will tell you this because I know my girl Jazz, I know you're listening. I am working in this area so that not so much to turn off the mommy role, but to allow myself to not have mommy guilt when I decide to do something for me. I'm working on it. But guys, I just had to get on here and tell you how I am so, so very proud of my almost 18-year-old son, Dion Walker, for all the things that he's accomplished in life. And it's not just because he has decided and has become a professional ball player, but it's because I have watched him for 18 years defy the odds that people try to place on him. From the time he was a little bitty baby up until just a couple of months ago. And there are more obstacles and there are more naysayers in his future. And I know that he will continue to flourish and prove those people wrong. Because when you're destined for greatness, it is nothing. And I mean, there is nothing that can stop you from reaching your destiny except for yourself. And if I can help him to continue to be the person he needs to be so he can walk into his destiny, I will be that. And so, guys, until next time, it's the Momager Extraordinaire. Just call me J. Nicole. Make sure you guys are following me on all my social media platforms. I am on IG at Just Call Me J. Nicole, and that's J-U-S-T. C-A-L-L-M-E, the letter J, N-I-C-O-L-E. I'm on Twitter at the number 2, Will Confirm. Again, that's the number 2, W-I-L-L-C-O-N-F-I-R-M. And last but not least, make sure you reach out and join me, chit chat with me, give me some feedback, or like I said, join me literally on my podcast by dropping me a line at justcallmejnicole@gmail.com. Next time, guys, be ready. I am live on Urban Beats Radio 2. Make sure you're tuning in each and every day because I'll be coming to you live and in color. Again, it's Just Call Me J. Nicole, and you guys be blessed.